everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Off and running on a new week. It is Monday, November the 13th, 2023. Do you believe it? Thanksgiving is now next week. Wow, what a year. We are in the green. I'll save that for another time, talking about this year. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for news and talk. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Not only is that the place for live listening, but all of our podcasts are up there as well. The live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Monday, we kick off the week with our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And their website's looking really good, too, moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Tucson attorney Kathy Winger, who owns her own, well, she has her own solo practice focusing on business, corporate, commercial, contract, and real estate law, along with wills and trusts, compliance, privacy, and her specialty, cybersecurity. She's also an adjunct professor at Pima Community College, where she teaches a class on cyber law and ethics. Kathy is a sought-out speaker on cybersecurity and traveled the country talking at numerous national cybersecurity conferences. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm well, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. One thing that's added to your, when you're speaking, one thing that's going to be at the top of the list, and it's our topic today, artificial intelligence. I mean, when our AI came on the scene, everybody was going, you know, there may be some real benefits to this. Well, the scamming community thought, oh, boy, this is going to be a great opportunity. Why don't we begin at the beginning? What are we talking about with artificial intelligence?
So artificial intelligence is nothing more than simulating human intelligence in a machine. So you can think of it like a mind, a human mind in a machine that can perform some of the same thought processes that we humans perform.
So how do they then get into the AI, into the scamming part of it?
Well, the first one that I want to talk about is what they call AI-assisted scams. And so these are, what I'm finding with these is they are similar to scams that are already out there, having to do with email, having to do with Facebook, having to do with websites, but AI is involved. And one of the issues is AI is able to make the scam harder to detect. So, for example, I think I've been here talking about cybersecurity, and I've talked about emails, phishing. Mm-hmm. You know, you get an email, and it's from a fake address, mm-hmm. and it gives you a link, and you click on the link, and all of a sudden, all kinds of malware gets downloaded onto your computer. Yeah. Well, when I used to talk about those emails, there are things that you can look at in the emails that are indicators that it's not, that there's something questionable about it. One of the things that AI-assisted scams do for the email scams is to get rid of a lot of those markers, because they can go to something like a ChatGPT and, you know, say they're not going to be able to say, write a phishing email for me, ChatGPT, which is an AI program that you can go to. They're not going to say that. They're not going to write an email, but they can request an email asking certain things, and it doesn't have the type of grammatical mistakes that you would look for, things like that. So the AI assistant really makes them better scammers and makes it harder for individuals to recognize them.
Give us an example of an email that's generated with that AI that would be fishy in your opinion.
Well, it would. One of the hallmarks of this type of email is a sense of urgency.
Okay.
You know, you need to do something right away. So I get a lot of emails about my Microsoft Word account,
yes,
and it's expiring, and here's a link, and I need to click on the link right away because it's going to expire and I'm not going to be able to use it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know from experience, you know, to just delete that email because of the urgency factor of it. So that's one of the indicators. One that would be changed with AI are things like misspellings or misuse of words. You know, when you read these scamming emails, phishing emails, as they call them, they just sometimes don't sound right. The grammar's not exactly,
yes,
right. The language is a little off. AI can fix that. You can get an email from AI, and it's not going to have those errors. And so that's what I mean about that taking away one of the tools that we as consumers have to recognize the emails.
And we do rely, I know I do, rely on a lot of that going into my spam folder.
Right.
So an obvious question, Kathy Winger, well, is the AI getting kind of past that firewall and not going in the scam folder, but maybe into your primary? Because I don't really know how it works, but however, that firewall was not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure that it is, because usually with your spam folder, mm-hmm, it's going to be based on the sender and the address.
Okay.
And the AI doesn't really change that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the tips, you know, that I always give when you're questioning an email, you know, when it comes from someone you don't know, look at who sent it.
Mm-hmm.
So my Microsoft email, I look up and it's not from Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, the domain name is, yeah, not Microsoft. That doesn't change with AI. Now, there may be ways to get around it with subject lines and language and things,
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's always going to be some level that gets through your spam folder. And I don't think, from what I've seen, AI doesn't increase that part of it.
Let's move on to social media, artificial intelligence scams now in social media, whether it's on Facebook or X, formerly known as Twitter. So how does that work?
Well, the way that works, and there are really a couple different ways to describe them. Social media AI scams, fraudulent ChatGPT app scams, fake ChatGPT websites. And what those are based on is the fact that artificial intelligence, AI, is popular. Everybody, you know, or a lot of people are interested in using it. It's the new thing. You hear about it. It can do this. Mm-hmm. It can do that. And so the online scams, the social media scams, take advantage of that. And so in terms of you can create a fake Facebook page and it looks real for a product that's purports to be ChatGPT,
mm-hmm,
and it has reviews of people, comments. You know, it looks like a real genuine site. When you click on the link in the site, it takes you to a place where malware is downloaded onto your computer. It doesn't take you to ChatGPT.
Well, you ought to be really careful then on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Clicking on any ad, right?
Absolutely. Clicking on any ad, yeah. It's really, you know, I've always talked about, you know, because in terms of this, you know, when you're clicking on a website that has, you know, that can harm you, you need to be skeptical. And we always did need to be skeptical before AI. Now it's increased skepticism because the bad actors, the threat actors, are relying on the fact that people are interested in AI. There's even AI investment scams.
What?
where they have convinced people to invest in AI companies, and they're not. You know, they're scams. And so, you know, it's sort of the same. I think what they're finding, what the threat actors are finding, is that people's defenses seem to be down when it comes to AI. So it's the new thing, and everybody wants to be part of the new thing. So people are being told, you know, you will not lose money on this investment. Your return's going to be some ridiculous amount. And normally they wouldn't buy that. They'd mm-hmm, you know, you'd mm-hmm, put the brakes on. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is, that idea. But with AI, when you throw that in there, when you throw in ChatGPT, when you throw in these names, people are less careful when it comes to it.
What is ChatGPT?
ChatGPT.
What is GPT? PT stand for?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure what it stands for. But it's an AI system, and it's free to use. And you can put a prompt in, and it will generate copy for you. So, you know, when they talk about, you know, I'm an instructor at, you know, at several colleges, you know, students, you know, for their assignment, if they have to do a written assignment, you know,
they'll generate a paper.
Exactly. You can generate it. And it's a free service. And, you know, it's used by many people, and it uses artificial intelligence. That's the key to it. So you're putting the prompt in, and the ChatGPT is producing, has thought through it. That's why I say it. It's like our intelligence. Human intelligence, it thinks through it and spits it out. I saw an article that was so interesting where a lawyer took several legal issues and put it through ChatGPT and came up with the results, and then had given it to, this was a partner in a law firm, had given it to an associate mm-hmm. in the law firm mm-hmm. to answer the questions mm-hmm. and took them and put them next to each other, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. then published the mm-hmm. article. Mm-hmm. It was scarily close. There was much, I mean, definitely the person, the associate who had mm-hmm. done the work, it was mm-hmm. definitely much better. But I will tell you that ChatGPT, or it might have been a legal AI, I'm not sure which one, but it didn't do a horrible job, I have to say.
It's and probably I think getting better, too.
It is.
Oh,
it
my
is.
Goodness.
Yeah.
All right, let's pause right here. It's our Monday one-on-one with attorney Kathy Winger, and we're talking about artificial intelligence and how we really now need to keep our guards up when it comes to cybersecurity. Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, and I mentioned Thanksgiving's next Thursday, so now is the time to be thinking of what kind of pie do you want on your table for dessert for Thanksgiving. How about the dinner rolls? I need to call Steve and the team. When they open tomorrow, they do take Monday off. I've got to put in my order for the dinner rolls for our Thanksgiving potluck at the Buckmaster Bungalow this year. But the place to do it, monasdanishbakery.com is their website. And, of course, stop in, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Monday one-on-one. We're talking cybersecurity. We will be right back. Are you going to? Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're doing our Monday one-on-one talking about cybersecurity with attorney Kathy Winger. And thank you, John, for looking up what the GPT is. Generative Pre-trained transformation. Wow.
Thank you for that, John. That's why I couldn't remember it. It was too many big words.
But that is that's kind of the hot topic.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And of course the scammers are all over the place. And this is the one I really want to get into. The AI voice cloning scam.
Yeah.
So this could be like somebody calling you up and maybe sounding like a relative or something. That's kind of scary.
Well, it's scary. Very scary when you involve AI, because what the malicious actors do is they get audio data from, let's say you're the target, Bill, from your social media.
Yeah.
If you have videos of, you know, you're someone that you know really well.
Or all my shows.
All
your
shows,
it wouldn't be
right. And they take that audio and then they run it through a text-to-speech program. There's an app that will make it speech from text. And it's in the style of the original audio, so it sounds like you. So then the scammer uses that to create a voicemail or a voice note, and someone's calling you in distress. You know, they're in desperate need of money and they need it right away, and they sound like, you know, your child. They sound like your spouse. They sound like your sibling.
Yeah.
And they hope that, you know, the hope is that you won't be able to distinguish between, you know, the fake voice and the real voice. And, you know, certainly somebody you love calls you and they're in trouble and they need money right away.
Yeah.
You're going to respond.
Yeah.
So that really is, that's one where the AI assistance makes it much, much easier for the scammers.
I've had a friend who this happened to, and he said this sounded very much like a grandchild, and was calling and say, "Grandpa, I'm in trouble.
Right.
You know, I need a certain amount of money." So these are getting so sophisticated.
Right. If they can sound like your grandchild or your child, you're not going to, you know, it's hard to hesitate to help them immediately.
Right.
You know, if your child calls and says, "I need money, I'm in trouble."
Yeah.
Your parent's reaction is going to be, "Tell me where to send it," you know.
So how do we protect ourselves from this one?
Again, with that, a couple things. First of all, you know, and I keep repeating this, but a healthy dose of skepticism. The recommendation is that you call back the number to see if they answer it, if the voice answers it, because usually it's a voicemail and it's a recording, so it's not set up to say hello. So call the number back. Or try to call the person who called you. Let's say your grandchild's, call their number and, you know, talk to them. If you can't find them, talk to friends who might know where they are. Like if they're on, a lot of times they're on a trip, they're out of the country.
Yeah.
Are they with someone?
Yeah.
Contact them. And then if that doesn't get you anywhere, they recommend that you go to the authorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just tell the AI clone voice, I'll call you right back.
Exactly, exactly.
And
yeah.
then check the number.
Exactly,
and, yeah.
well, that, exactly. Okay. But it's the initial skepticism. And, you know, the thing with voicemails like this or voice memos like this, you get this call and your heart has already dropped. You know, yeah. you hear that your child, your grandchild, your brother is in trouble.
Right.
You're not, from that second on, you're not thinking clearly.
No.
Or I wouldn't
no.
be, you
no.
know?
No.
And so in logically, you know what to do, but emotionally, you just want to help your child or your grandchild or your sibling.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier the AI investment scams.
Right.
Have we talked about the fake chat GPT website?
That's the same thing. Yeah,
okay.
we did. That really
all
came
right.
up with the social media. It really can all be lumped together that the scam is that artificial intelligence, and in this instance, ChatGPT, is something that everybody wants to get in on. And so, you know, you see a fancy ad on Facebook, and you're like, oh, I've been interested in this ChatGPT. I'm going to click uh-huh. on it. And it's not a ChatGPT website. And so they all really are based on the new shiny object of artificial intelligence, and that drawing people in and making them sort of forget, you know, what they should be doing, taking logic away and again throwing emotion into it.
So what was this executive order a week or so ago on
yes.
safe, secure, and trustworthy artificial intelligence?
Yes, this was really interesting to me, and I actually talked about it in my class the day that it was released or the day after it was released. And they're calling this came from President Biden. It's an executive order, and they're calling it the most sweeping actions ever taken to protect Americans from potential risks of AI systems. So it's looking at AI, what it is. One of the, it has a lot of different goals. It has a lot of different standards. But the one that jumped out at me after looking at this conversation that we're having about scams, one of the stated goals of it is to protect Americans from AI-enabled fraud and deception by establishing standards and best practices for selecting AI-generated content and authenticating official content. And what this executive order has done, it has charged the Department of Commerce to develop content authentication and watermarking, something so you will know when you look at something or when you hear something, you will know that it was generated by AI. It was not generated by a human being. And what would happen, you know, initially it would be the government. So Americans would know that, you know, once the Department of Commerce comes up with this, mm-hmm. let's say watermark, like uh-huh. they have on photographs, once they come up with that, anything from the government would have that.
Uh-huh.
So the government can say, you know, for the scams like the IRS, you know, somebody calls and says you owe money and it's a scam. But, you know, the government can say, you will know that's a scam because that doesn't have this special watermark on it, or it doesn't have this authentication on it. So sort of starting with things that come from the government and addressing those scams in a way that will protect consumers. Consumers will know if it doesn't have this, then it's not real and I should ignore it.
Well, that seems like a really good step in
yeah,
the right direction.
I thought that was a great step in the right direction. And there are a lot, as I said, this was just a piece of it. There are a lot that have to do with companies and what they should do. There's a lot about privacy and protecting the privacy of individuals' information. So it's very, very broad, but I think that particular one really targets what we're talking about here. How do you tell the difference between an AI-generated piece of material and a non-AI generated piece of material? And there are also, I wanted to mention, there are also programs that you can use that are AI detectors that you can run things through mm-hmm. and it can detect whether it was created by a human versus artificial intelligence. So
these
there's
are programs
also,
to protect yourself?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. So there are things out there, you know, helping people. It's just a matter of using them. And as I said, for these scams that we talk about today, they prey on such emotions that you're not taking time to run it get through something or to check it. You're just acting on what you see. You're clicking on a link or you're getting this phone call and it sounds like your child, you know, any of those. But, you know, if you step back and take your time, there are things that you can do to verify it, and there will be more things coming going forward.
My goodness, when it comes to fighting fraud, Kathy, awareness is the key. Last year, U.S. consumers lost nearly $9 billion to fraud. That's a 30% increase over the prior year. So this is getting worse. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's getting worse and it's getting easier for the people committing the fraud. Now, you know, these are tools that are out there that can help them do it. So it even requires more, you know, skepticism on the part of people so that they don't get, you know, sucked up into it.
We've had you on before talking about the hackers and how they hijack systems and power companies. Is there any news on that?
Not really. Not too much. I haven't seen anything. You know, there are companies and government organizations have had data breaches and have been the victims of data breaches. I did see one thing that I thought was interesting.
Real quickly.
Okay. You know what? We'll save that for the next time I'm here.
Okay, do it the next time. Yeah. It's Kathy Winger. Where can we find more about you?
The best is to go to my website, which is kdwinger.com, or you can email me at kathy@kdwinger.com.
All right, our Monday one-on-one. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you, Bill.
Presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And their website, check it out, looks really good. They're doing e-commerce on the website. It's moesgallery.com. It's the midway point of the Monday show on Buckmaster. We will be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and Hanging and Lighting Solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studio. I have to tell everybody about my tour at Green Things yesterday. Jack, one of the owners, Jan and Jack are the owners of Green Things, and Jack gave me an incredible tour. Wow. The poinsettias, 21,000. They have grown in some really incredible colors. And of course, this is the time of year with the holidays. That's why they grow them. And it takes all year to grow them, but they are ready right now. I just couldn't believe it. The warehouses or the greenhouses, greenhouse after greenhouse, filled with poinsettias. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, and they also have their shop, Zocalo Village. But my goodness, everything you could imagine for your garden is there. All right, and when we do our telephone interviews about which we are about to embark, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. University of Arizona researchers are examining the relationship between loneliness and being alone, and they have found that there are some big differences. The two, there are different things with the two, and they're not really closely correlated. The research was recently published in the Journal of Research in Personality. Dr. David Sparra, a University of Arizona professor of psychology, and a senior author of the paper, joins us now on the live line. Professor, how are you?
Yes, hello there, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Thank you very much. So tell me how this, what was the genesis of putting this research together?
Well, there are a lot of different roads that are coming together with this study, but we're particularly interested in understanding the experience of loneliness, and that is the subjective, individualized, internal experience of social isolation. A lot of people know the experience of loneliness. They felt lonely before at various times to various degrees. And the question is, how does that internal emotional state relate to actually being alone, time spent alone? And one of the sort of pieces, the big pieces of data in the background here is that this spring, the U.S. Surgeon General released a major health advisory about the importance of social connection across the lifespan and thinking about social relationships, the quality of our social connections, as we do many other critical and important health behaviors. So our idea with this work is to step into these questions about the overlap between loneliness and isolation and then start to inform the broader body of research in this area.
When do people start to feel technically, when is it considered someone lonely about how much spent time is spent alone?
Well, there's no objective marker of that. We find that, for example, in our study, for most people under the age of 44, age turns out to be an important moderator of this association, that the association between time spent alone. And interestingly, there's a cool feature of the study of how we measured time spent alone. We have people wearing a smartphone device equipped with an app called the Electronically Activated Recorder, the EAR for short. This was developed by my colleague here in the U of A Psychology Department, Dr. Matthias Mell, and the EAR opens up the recorder on the smartphone, starts recording what's going on in people's ambient environment, and then we code the files for whether or not they're in the presence of others. And that gives us an objective measure of time spent alone. So there is no real association between time spent alone and loneliness for people generally younger than 44, 45 years of age. But as people's age, and the sample had over 400 people across a wide range of ages, but as age increases, there seems to be a stronger connection between time spent alone and loneliness.
And being socially isolated is a real danger, isn't it, Professor?
Social isolation and loneliness. So objective isolation and the subjective internal feeling of being alone are independent predictors of all kinds of health morbidities and even risk for early death. So they're significantly correlated with ill and poor health for sure.
Were you surprised, Professor, by these results?
I think I was pretty surprised by the age findings, yes. And one of the other pieces of the study that surprised me was that people who spent the obviously, there is a correlation between the two constructs. They're not uncorrelated. So that is, people who spend more time alone of isolation are associated with loneliness. But spending a lot of time with other people is also, and that one is pretty, I mean, I think the findings that are more compelling or interesting or curious are the ones that are harder to figure out in a lot of ways.
I want you to repeat what you just said, because you dropped out a couple of times for some reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So go ahead with that thought again, if you would repeat that for us.
Well, we find that people who are spending a large amount of time alone are more lonely. That's what we would expect. But it's also the case that people who spend a lot of time with others are also among the lonelier adults. And so that question, why is it that spending more time with others would be associated with greater loneliness, is also of interest.
Why would that be? That seems odd to me.
It seems odd to us, too, at first glance. But part of it is, you know, one possible explanation is that people who are lonelier, loneliness is alleged, theorized in the social psychology literature, to operate like a social alarm system. In many of the ways, you know, sort of the way to think about it would be akin to physical pain. Over the course of evolutionary history, we're designed to be part of small groups, and that loneliness as a psychological trait or characteristic evolved as a means of sort of alerting us to our need to reaffiliate, our need to connect, our need to get back into the group. And so we sort of view this from that perspective, is that maybe it's not that it's the isolation, the spending time with others causes you to be lonely. That's possible. But it could be that people who are lonely are actually seeking out these social interactions as a means of trying to reconnect with others.
Well, in August, I lost my wife of 51 years, and I put together a real tight-knit of about 10 people that I am in constant contact with, a phone or seeing them, and it has very much helped me, Professor.
Yes, I think that's very important for people. I mean, I'm sorry about your loss, and that's very significant. That's, you know, half a century.
Yes.
And for a lot of people, struggle with that enormously, and it can be one of life's most difficult challenges to navigate. Being able to elicit social support, to receive it well, is very important. And this is part of the larger health advisory that the Surgeon General put out, is that trying to make sure that we're connected and doing what we need to do to stay connected and figure out ways to get connected is very important. And, you know, one way to do that is through community and civic activities that become increasingly important as we age. If you're a member of a church, a music group, an athletic club, any like-minded affinity group, building those relationships and trying to deepen and strengthen them.
Professor Sparrow, thank you very much. And will there be a follow-up to this kind of research with you and your team?
Yes, we're working on all kinds of different follow-up studies, and we're really trying to get at questions related to loneliness, isolation, and health from a more causal perspective. Like, is it the case that, say, differences in lived experience of loneliness or differences in time spent alone are consistent with, say, accelerated biological aging in a way that would be associated with negative health outcomes?
All right. Professor David Sparrow, University of Arizona Professor of Psychology and a senior author of this very fascinating paper examining the relationship between loneliness and being alone. Thank you, Professor. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, kicking off a new week. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. If you're thinking of a great getaway this upcoming weekend, or maybe a midweek getaway, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive, and there's a lot to do there, a lot of hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Hanging out in historic Silver City, you can find out all about the activities, and there are a lot, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, things to do, and then where to stay, and even great places to dine. And again, it's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Well, you know, what happens when our men and women, the crewed missions to Mars, finally take place? What will the science objectives be? What will be the high priorities for the in-space phases of a crewed mission to Mars? That's one of the questions the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine are asking. And I want now to talk a little bit about this with Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which for coming up on 52 years in May, has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you, sir?
Oh, great, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Well, we've been waiting for something like this. I think a lot of people have. So what in the world? Many have been asking, you know, it's great to do the mission to Mars to, you know, plant the flag and all that. But what will the scientific basis for the mission be? And I think we're finally maybe going to start asking those questions and have some committees investigate it.
Yeah, and hopefully it will be something other than business as usual, which is to go up there and say, well, we'll putter around and we'll do things that we've done before. Because the cost of sending people to Mars and bringing them back is about $1 trillion.
Wow.
And so it might be worth a little advanced work in order to see what really special science might be doable with people. Because remember, these people are just going to be going to a small area, you know, on the surface mm-hmm. of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And so picking that area is really important. And of course, one of the things that people have been most interested about for decades has been about the possibility of past or even current life on Mars. And so maybe, you know, we need to mount, if we're going to send people there, a small fraction of the cost to really go after some of these questions of where there might be environments where life might be present today on Mars, and to have people go to those areas to see if they can actually confirm that and bring back something other than geological samples.
Well, you said $1 trillion. That would be today, and Lord knows what it will be by the time we finally get around to it going up there.
Well, yeah. Hopefully we do things more efficiently so the cost may come down or at least stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mars is always has surprises. We're continuing to learn more and more about it. I mean, we know that there was an ancient polar ocean. Some of our scientists here at PSI, one in particular, discovered evidence of past tsunamis. There are kind of mud volcano type things there, which might be a place where it might be a habitable environment or a prior habitable environment. You know, there's just more and more that we're learning all the time. And I think that with a concerted effort, including my favorite suggestion, which is, let's just take, I mean, remember, $1 trillion, that's $1,000 billion. What if we take $1 billion and invest that in developing new technology or where the kind of expensive laboratory work that we subject samples to, that we bring back from asteroids and the moon and other things, what if we could shrink that down so that we could do sample science over many locations on Mars and really understand what's there and actually send it to other bodies too, not just around the moon, but maybe to Europa and Enceladus and other places. If we could pack this kind of an analytical tools down to something small that instead of spending lots of money to bring samples back to the Earth, we could do that science remotely.
That makes too much sense. Mark Sykes, sense. I mean, why not a mobile lab up there and do the work right there rather than bringing it back?
Well, a lot of little mobile labs. I mean, a lot, like maybe 100 or something. But to make that kind of investment so that we could, if we're going to spend $1 trillion to land people on the surface of Mars, let's send them someplace where maybe they can come back with some final answers to some questions.
Do we have a timetable to send these people to Mars?
In the future.
Yes. To be determined.
Oh, you know, I think it's always a decade or so, you know, so 2030s or something like that. You know, I think we were supposed to go to Mars originally in the 80s, back in the late 60s. So, you know, these things kind of change. Yeah.
To be determined. Some interesting news. I think this was on the BBC. Planets the size of Jupiter free floating in space, unconnected to any star, been spotted by the James Webb Space Telescope. How in the world is that possible?
You know, I love this. I love it because it's one of those things that nobody ever expected. You know, and James Webb discovered about four of these, what they call Jupiter mass binary objects, or jumbos. You got to come up with a good name. and in the Orion area, star formation region. And the thing is that we know from models of the evolution of our own solar system, where we're trying to reproduce how things ended up where they are, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, asteroids, blah, 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 Kuiper belt objects. And the early solar system was a pretty dynamic place. And you know, there was the planets migrating. Some models suggest that Uranus and Neptune actually changed places. You know, one was inside the other and then ended up the other way around.
Hmm.
And of course, a lot of material got ejected from our early solar system, you know, about an Earth mass of material in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Now you look at these other stars that we see, or these other thousands of other solar systems we now know about, and a number of them, because of the way they were discovered, have planets that are orbiting extremely close to their stars. They have years that are days long, and there's no way they formed there. They ended up there because of these same kind of dynamically active early processes in which objects were kicking each other around because of their own, you know, gravitational perturbations on each other. And so how could it be that much of a surprise that a lot of large objects were also being kicked out of some fraction of these early forming solar systems? And so I think it's just great because it compels us to start looking at this in a more statistical way of not just solar systems that end up looking like ours, but the vast range of solar system architectures that we're finding out around other stars, you know, certainly in the process of creating many of these, that there was significant a loss of mass in the form of a couple of Jupiter-sized objects getting kicked out. So I think it's very, very cool, very exciting.
It's the ejection theory.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it's the not in my neighborhood theory. So sorry, and, guys, got to get out of here now. So.
And there's quite a few. Well, quite a few. I think they spotted 40 pairs of these jumbos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's probably many more, and the reasons why these guys were seen is because they're big.
Mm.
There's probably also a lot of other smaller worlds, Earth-sized worlds, other size worlds that are out there floating in space. You know, until now, we haven't seen very many rogue planets out there wandering among the stars, but maybe there's a lot. So. So this is just very cool science, and it helps us to expand our minds about beyond just, you know, when thinking about planets, when thinking about planetary science, that Earth, our solar system, is one of thousands of solar systems that we know about today, and they're all different.
I know that we're learning something, it seems like, almost every day, thanks to that James Webb Space Telescope. Isn't that true?
Yep, absolutely. It's a very cool instrument. Thank God it launched successfully.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, for more information about the Planetary Science Institute, psi.edu. And that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, this Monday edition. Hope everybody had a learned a little something. I always learn something. That's why I come into work every day. Maybe learn something I didn't know. That's what it is all about. On behalf of John, who is engineering and producing our show, and behalf of all of our guests, thank you very much for tuning in, and we hope everybody has a very good afternoon.